The Giants are off to a roaring start to start the season, going 5-1 on a 6-game road trip, including most recently a 3-game sweep over the Astros in Houston, no less, something they haven't done since 2012. And they start the season 5-1, something they haven't done since 2014. Anybody remember what the Giants did in 2012 and 2014?
Cabrera takes strike three called, and the Giants have won the World Series in Detroit.
And he's got it, and the Giants have won. They have won the World Series for the third time in 5 years.
I can't recall. But in all seriousness, we're going to talk about the Giants series in Houston and preview their upcoming series in the home opener against the Seattle Mariners. I'm your host, Darius Lott, and this is Second and King.
Welcome to Second and King.
It's a deep! It is out of here!
Your one-stop shop for everything San Francisco Giants.
And there's a shot deep right field by Crawford. Adios, pelota!
And now, here's your host, Darius Lott.
Yeah!
Yes, another win for the San Francisco Giants. Welcome back to Second and King, y'all. As always, I'm your host, Darius Lott. And today, we're going to be talking about the Giants coming off their opening two series against some pretty formidable competition out on the road. You know, we talked about Cincinnati. That's a tough ballpark to play in. You know, offense is typically at a high there. But the Giants managed to take 2 out of 3. And then they had to turn around and come to Houston, where they took care of business yet again. And not only that, they took care of games 1, games 2, and games 3. A sweep, their first sweep on the season. And that gets them to a 5-1 record heading back to Oracle Park, where they'll kick it off at home in front of the fans for the first time in the 2025 season on Friday. Hall of Famer Justin Verlander on the mound. We'll touch on the next series against the Mariners in a bit, but we're going to focus right now on what happened in Houston. The Giants do it again. They just played what I like to call Buster Posey era baseball. You know, they're pitching really well. They're defending really well. Still no errors this season for this Giants team. And there was a few years ago where the defense was just absolutely abysmal and the pitching wasn't nearly what it was. I know it's a small sample size, but still, it's a good sign to see guys throwing this well, and you know, from the starting rotation to the bullpen, and guys out there, you know, picking the ball clean, you know, that you're going to need that. And I think this is the vision that Buster Posey had for this Giants team. This is basically a carbon copy almost of the style of play that he was familiar with when he was with the Giants as a player and they were winning championships, you know, in the 2010s. This is basically the blueprint of good quality pitching, defense, and timely hitting. You know, the Giants offense, you know, if you look at those championship teams, were not, you know, tops in the league. They weren't even considered by most a real offensive threat at all. But they got the hits when they needed them. They scratched across just enough for their pitching staff, and they won games. They won games in the regular season, and then they turned around and they won games in the postseason. A lot of them, in fact. And it may not be a perfect science, but there is some level of success to when you can play this way. You can kind of bring teams into playing your style of play, playing your brand of baseball. And this goes back to that press conference Buster had. When you play the San Francisco Giants, you know you've been in a fight. You know, they're not going to go down easy. They're going to, you know, pitch you to death. They're going to be tough on defense. And they're going to be pesky all game long trying to, you know, scratch runs across. So I am a big fan and a proponent of that. And I see it already this early coming to fruition. And that's without some key guys in the lineup hitting right now. And I think those guys will turn it around at some point or another. I'll get to them in a bit. But yeah, just a great start. I can't think of a better ask if you're a Giants fan to the start of the season, the way they've opened up here. You won both your series on the road, which is always tough. And I think the Giants were among one of the worst teams last year in terms of playing on the road. So to be able to turn that around, especially, I think Bob Melvin mentioned this, like especially, you know, going back to last year, they know they were bad on the road. They knew it. And they knew they had to turn that around, especially if they wanted a chance to compete. So this is a good first step in that process. But we're going to go game by game here, and we're going to talk about how the Giants managed to pull out this three-game sweep over the Houston Astros. So game one, we saw the 2025 debut of right-hander Jordan Hicks getting his first start. And a fun fact about this, he is a Houston native, and this is the first time in his career that he got to pitch in Houston. He pitched at, I believe, every single ballpark in the majors to this point, except for the Houston ballpark. I'm blanking on the name of it now. It's no longer Minute Maid Park, but I don't know it as anything else other than that. So Minute Maid Park it is. He hadn't pitched anywhere else. He hadn't pitched there yet. He pitched everywhere else but there. And what a home debut. He had 90 plus, you know, friends and family in attendance. And he rewarded them who showed up by pumping gas over, just over and over. Like 90 in attendance, 90 plus on the mound. So, yeah, he was doing his thing. What's that meme, that guy? Like, no curveball, no changeup, just straight gas.
No curveball, no changeup, nothing but fucking gas.
That was him. That was him in this game. Like, he just, you know, his fastball sat anywhere from 98 to 99 all night. And one of the things we saw last year with Hicks was he tended to, you know, tire out pretty fast. He got off to that hot start, and then he started to wane a little bit, you know, and he just couldn't keep up the momentum. He just didn't have the conditioning, the arm strength, what have you. And it was rough, you know, especially when you saw the potential. And his fastball around last year kind of sat in the mid, you know, to high 90s. He would occasionally bump it up to the 97, 98. But he kind of sat in that mid-tier of like 93 to like 96. But here, not here. He was not conserving his energy at all. Like, here it is, coming straight at dudes. And his line was reflective of how well he pitched. Like, six innings in the book. He was the first starter to that point to complete six innings. Only one hit allowed to the Astros. No runs, walked two batters, but struck out six. Just phenomenal stuff. Excellent work by Hicks in this ball game. And a great debut. And I just hope, you know, I've had a lot to say about Jordan Hicks and how I feel he fits into the rotation. I made it abundantly clear that I thought Hayden Birdsong and Landon Roop were more deserving of rotation spots than Jordan Hicks, just based off of their performance in camp. And I know Jordan Hicks was signed on a four-year deal in the Farhan Zaidi era, and he was made the promise that he was going to be a starter. But I didn't want to yes, he's a starter, because that's what Farhan Zaidi promised him. Farhan's not here anymore. It doesn't really matter what he promised him or not. You kind of have to, in my mind, you have to kind of earn that. Not that he wasn't good in points in certain spots last year, but I just didn't feel that he should just get one based off of what someone prior who was here before and isn't now had told him. And especially if there are more, I would say, deserving candidates. But he still has plenty of time to turn it around and prove me wrong. And I hope he does, because what I saw from him in this game, in this first game against the Astros, is something I look forward to potentially seeing for the remainder of the year. You know, it's still something that's very new to him, being a starting pitcher, but he seems committed and absolutely determined to do this. And I'm pretty sure there's a part of him that probably feels like he's probably heard the noise of people saying, you know, he shouldn't even be in the rotation. Well, like Michael Jordan, he took that personally. So, yeah, good on Hicks. He gave the Giants, you know, the start that they needed. The bullpen came in after, you know, Duvall. He had a shutdown inning. Spencer Bivens, I won't spend too much time on it, but his second outing this season, his first came in Cincinnati, and he gave up two more runs so far this season. I think it's kind of early to kind of doubt Spencer Bivens. His stuff, for the most part, looks pretty good. I think it's just a matter of location. He missed location a few times in those instances where he gave up hits. You know, he gave up the home run to Christian Encarnacion Strand in Cincinnati. And, you know, he gave up a pair here in this game, so off a double. But that was by Isak Paredes. But, yeah, I don't worry about it too much. I hope he locks in. We'll see what his role is, because I feel like they're trying to get him into the Sean Jelly role. But, you know, Sean Jelly's not hurt or anything. He didn't underperform. And he proved last year he can get those outs. But we'll see. You know, they seem to really like Bivens. I like Bivens, too. And it's still very early, so I'm not worried about him. The Eric Miller came in, shut it down, and then Ryan Walker came in. Not a safe situation for Ryan Walker, but he did close out the game. And the reason why it wasn't a safe situation is because the Giants put up 7 runs in this first game. And the scoring got started by who else? Wilmer Flores. Hit the music. Wilmer does it again. He gets the offense started first with a single to left that drives in Elliot Ramos. That made it 1-0 Giants. And then later on in the top of the 6th inning, Wilmer would hit his third home run of the season to left. A 3-run shot scores Jung Hoo Lee and Patrick Bailey. That made it 5-0 Giants. And then from there, later in the game, Matt Chapman would tack on a pair with a 2-run single. But yeah, Wilmer Flores, man. I mean, I might as well just talk about Wilmer, like, just outright here, because what he has done to start this season has been incredible. It has been absolutely incredible. He went into this game, picked up 2 more hits, including that home run. And then in the second game, he was DHing once again. He didn't get a hit in that game, but he would come back in the third and final game, and he would collect 1 hit, but once again, it leaves the ballpark. His 4th home run of the year. He's on an absolute tear right now, and it's very reassuring to see, because in the offseason, you saw, you know, the Giants had the potential, and it sounded like they were strongly considering upgrades at first base at for a time. I remember being, you know, a proponent of trading with the Reds for Spencer Steer. Not only does he play first base, he's also very versatile. plays outfield, and I think he plays a little bit of infield as well. Carlos Santana, I thought, was a nice fit as well, especially since the Giants are kind of right-handed heavy. Santana's a switch hitter. So, and then I even threw out Paul Goldschmidt as a possibility. But no, the Giants stuck to their guns. They said, we have Wilmer. He'll be back healthy, and he'll split time at first base with Lamont Wade Jr. And, you know, that wasn't exactly what fans were hoping to hear. You know, I kind of wasn't hoping to hear that too. But Wilmer, you know, last year was a very down year for him, and a lot of that has to do with that knee injury. And he went under the knife, and he looks brand new. Like, if I could find dude who operated on Wilmer Flores, I would just want to give him a big thank you and just give him a hug and say thank you for saving our boy. Because he's back to being what he was. Like, these type of stretches for Wilmer are not uncommon. He's done these before in the past, but I don't know, there's just something different about this, especially it has to be just because of how last year went for him as a whole. That's probably why I feel that way. Like, this one just feels special so far. You know, this is his contract year with the Giants. He's 33 years old. And, we don't know what the future holds for Wilmer as a Giant going forward. This may be it. But, man, right now, as it stands, he's been doing work, man. He's been doing the most. He has 5 hits so far this season. And 4 of them are home runs. Like, it's insane. Like, his overall offensive numbers aren't crazy, but like, he has a .227 average, a .292 on base, but he has 1,000 OPS right now because he keeps popping homers. So yeah, very cool to see Wilmer playing well again. Just love having him back, you know, healthy and just doing his thing right now. So kudos to him. I began talking about this series with Jordan Hicks and his start in the first game. Well, then the ace for the San Francisco Giants, Logan Webb, got his second turn on the mound in 2025, and he did not disappoint. After the game was over, and after Webby was, you know, after Webby's start was done, I said that was a vintage Logan Webb performance, a vintage Logan Webb jam. 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts. And that right there. Oh, not to mention, he induced 3 ground ball double plays. Logan Webb at its finest, ladies and gentlemen. Logan Webb at his finest. Like, he was sniffing 7 innings. He wanted 7 innings. He saw Hicksie go as a 6 the night before, and he said, no. You are not going to outduel me. And I love that. If this kind of turns into a thing with the starters, where they kind of get competitive with each other, like almost like a friendly competition. You know, like Webby goes out, he throws 7 strong, then the next guy's like, oh, I gotta throw 7 strong. Like, throw 7 strong, okay, well, I'm gonna throw 8 strong. You know, it kind of allows these guys to kind of lock in a little bit and build some camaraderie as a team, something that wasn't really present last year. And I'll probably touch on that a bit more later, but yeah, Webb, he looked great. You know, he had a shaky first outing opening day against the Reds, but now, this was Logan Webb. Like, this was him at his absolute best. And this guy is so underappreciated and so undervalued. But Giants fans know. We know. You know, we know. We know how good Webb is. We know. We know. His last start, he talked about how he kind of was trying to be a strikeout pitcher. Those were his words, you know, like he was trying to get too cute, as he put it in his post-game comments following the opening day win over the Reds. He just didn't quite pitch to, you know, his ability. And this time he did that. You know, he was inducing ground balls. He was inducing soft contact. The only run he gave up was a solo shot to Jose Altuve. He had fallen behind at one point, I believe it, and then the count was full, and he did not want to walk him, especially with, you know, the lead. So he kind of just challenged him. He went, he's a fastball, hit it, and Altuve hit it for his first of the year. And, you know, Webb answered right back immediately, getting the next, what, like the next three guys out. You know, he didn't even let it faze him. He shook it off real quick, and he just kept on moving. So, yeah, Webby, seeing him go out like that and dominant on the hill, a welcome sign for Giants fans. They got to be pretty ecstatic about it. I know I was. Another fun note in this game, game two of this series, Willie Adames picked up, I would say, his first, like, big hit for the Giants. He hit a double down the left field line that scored Patrick Bailey and Christian Kos. And that was like his, that got the scoring started for the Giants. And that was big because prior to that, Wade had struck out. Talk a little bit more about Wade when we get to the third game. And Willie picked up his boy, you know. He picked him up. He hit that ball down the line. And it was Willie's first, you know, big hit so far in a Giants uniform. He has yet to really show what I know and we all know he's fully capable of, but it'll come. And one thing that's evident, even while Willie isn't playing up to his standard, he is still very much absolute net positive for this Giants team because of what he does for the guys in the clubhouse. And I think he just brings an energy and a ferocity of competing that people just love, you know, and you could just see it's rubbing off on his teammates. Anytime his teammates do anything, if you're watching the broadcast and you see Willie, you see him, he's the first one out of the dugout. He's out there, he's clapping, he's cheering on his boys. You know, they get to the top step, he takes their helmet off, daps them up. You know, like, he's just happy, you know, for them. And he's not even worried about his own personal stats. And I love that. I love his just camaraderie. And he's one of those guys that Buster looked at to help change the culture in the Giants clubhouse. Because another thing, we talked about pitching, defense, and timely hitting being a strength, something that the Giants absolutely needed to be successful. It's something that Buster Posey and his playing days, they were built on. You know, it was like their foundation. Well, another thing that was their foundation was a strong clubhouse chemistry. And I think Buster realizes that more than anything. And it just makes them fun. You know, another thing, like, I've talked about this, Giants typically weren't that fun to watch. They were pretty boring, especially when they were losing, especially when they were just meh, mid. But yeah, right now, they're looking real good, and they got a little spark to them. I'm really enjoying watching them so far this year, and I look forward to seeing them in person on Saturday. I will be at this night game to watch the Giants take on the Mariners, second game of that three-game series. So, yeah, vibes are high. They're high in the clubhouse. They're high among the fan base. You know, of course, when you win, you know, it's going to change some things. People are going to be a little bit more excited. But, yeah, I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing so far with this team. So that was the second game. Giants won that by a final 3-1 behind Logan Webb, Ryan Walker with the save. So 7-2 in the game one, they won that first game, and then 3-1 in the second game. They've won the series. They've taken the first two. Now they can get greedy with game three. They can really put a stamp on this strong start, on this opening road trip before they head home to San Francisco. They can get greedy and take the whole enchilada. They could sweep. And man, they came out, you know, guns blazing in game three. And they knew they had to. They had to face Framber Valdez of the Houston Astros, who, you know, we mentioned Webb and what he does with the ground ball and everything like that. I think Framber Valdez is right up there, or maybe just a bit above Webb in the statistic. You know, he's one of the best at, you know, inducing ground balls and limiting hard contact as well. So, yeah, the Giants knew that they were going to have a tough task. So, and they jump out on him early. And like I said, Wilmer got it started with his fourth home run. And then Luis Matos, who got the start in right field, in center field, Jung Hoo Lee had the day off. He got the start in center against the lefty Valdez. And check him out, collecting a pair of hits, 2 for 3 on the day, including his first home run of the season. He hit it off the wall in, I think it was like left center. It hit above that line, you know, near those archways out in left field at Minute Maid Park. I still don't know the name of the other. I don't know the name of it. I just don't. But his first of the year. I hope that they can get some more at-bats for Luis Matos, because he kind of reminds me of a similar Giants player on this team that I'm going to talk about in just a minute, who I think has huge breakout potential. Like, the tools that Luis Matos has are hard to ignore. You know, he's a pretty solid defender, not the best in center field. I probably have him in the corners. He probably profiles better as a left fielder, to be honest, especially at Oracle Park. But he's got pretty good speed, quick bat, like very quick bat. Like, this fastball that he hit was in, and he turned on it. He dug it out. Same with Wilmer. Oh, I'm going to just sidetrack just for a bit, and then I'll get back to Matos. Wilmer Flores, last year when he was injured, you know, he couldn't really push off that knee. He was getting, you know, eaten up on the inside pitch. That is not the case this year, because he is fully healthy and he is turning on that pitch. And for some reason, maybe they'll figure it out at some point, but they keep thinking they can pitch him inside. But Wilmer said that ain't happening, bro. You are not, you know, trying to tie me up in knots. That ain't happening. That may have worked last year. It ain't happening this year. I can tell you that right now. But yeah, that was my little mini rant. I just wanted to point that out. I was thinking about inside pitches, and when I talked about Matos, it kind of brought Wilmer to mind. But yeah, Luis Matos is somebody who I've had pretty high hopes for a while. Like, when I thought about the perfect scenario for the Giants as far as their young talent, it was Elliot Ramos, Luis Matos, Marco Luciano. Those guys being like the three pillars of the Giants going into this new era. And, you know, Marco Luciano so far, you know, pretty solid start from what I saw last time in AAA. Hopefully he can keep it going. He keeps working and refining his game. He has a lot of tools as well. But yeah, Luis Matos is here. He's doing the thing. He had a strong spring off the back of playing winter ball back home in Venezuela, and it's translated so far. But I just really hope that even with the solid play of Mike Yastrzemski so far, that they can try to get Luis Matos more at bats. But that kind of brings me to the person that I was talking about before, and that is Elliot Ramos. And Elliot Ramos, kind of like Wilmer Flores, is off to an amazing start this year. And he's got now, I believe he also has four. Does he have four home runs? No, I think he has the three. Well, him and Wilmer have been kind of just going back and forth about who's going to lead this team in home runs. And Elliot Ramos is the guy I picked to go 30 home runs this year. He's going to break that drought. He's going to be the first Giant since Bonds in 04 to break that streak. And there's a good possibility going forward next year, he'll be the opening day left fielder, and they can finally put that streak to bed. You know, I forget the number. Like, it's absurd how many left fielders the Giants have had since Bonds retired in 2007. It's absurd. And there are names on there you don't even, like, you're like, wait, what? Like, Connor Joe's on that list. Jarrett Parker. if you don't know who some of those guys I just listed are, I wouldn't blame you. But yeah, back to Ramos. A solid start to the year for him. He also has a 1,000 OPS, 3 home runs, 7 hits. Just, he's a monster right now. And what he did in this opening road trip put him in the record books forever. And he is synonymous now with legends like Felipe Alou and Willie Mays. He joins them both as the only other Giants to have an extra base hit in the first 5 games to begin a season. Willie Mays did that back in 1971. So he's tied Willie, and he's just under a game under Felipe. And man, it has been it's been something to see him going from where he was last year to performing very well, you know, breaking out the big 20 home run campaign to, you know, a strong start to this year. One of the things that he definitely, and you can kind of see it, he has worked on is covering that high fastball, because even in the midst of having a solid year last year, teams were starting to attack him high in the zone. So he had to really battle and overcome that to kind of become the player that he is now. And he's covering that pitch. I think about in Cincinnati, how he was able to work his way, you know, that 11 pitch at bat that he had against Hunter Green. And he finally got a pitch that he can handle. He muscled it out to right field, you know, displaying that all-worldly power he has and the power he has to all fields. He doesn't just pull the ball. He can take you deep to left center. He can pull it. He can hit one out to dead center, and he can take you out to right. We saw him last season make history again. He was the first right-handed hitter, I should say, in the history to hit a ball out into McCovey Cove. No other player has done that, none from the Giants, and no visiting player has ever done that. He's the only one. The only other person that came close was Posey. He almost did it in 2021 in that division series game one against the Dodgers, and he would have had it if it didn't hit one of the splash cannons in right. So, yeah, Elliot Ramos just having a really strong start to his season, and man, the sky's the limit for this guy. There was a point where it was seemingly thought that the Giants might just give up on him. They were bringing in all kinds of other people, Jock Peterson, you know, just to name one. But he really made it to the point where it says, you know what, the hell with this. I'm going to be great regardless of what those in charge at the time may think of me. And I'm going to show them what they've been missing. I'm going to, you know, just force the issue. I'm not waiting for opportunity to be granted to me. I'm just going to storm right in and take it. And he's done that full force since he's become a big leaguer here with the San Francisco Giants. And I hope he does it for years to come, because a player like Elliot Ramos does not come around very often, you know. So got to protect him at all costs. I saw the other day, Jackson Merrill, Christian Campbell. Why did I say it like that? Christian Campbell and Jackson Merrill. Merrill of the Padres and Campbell of the Boston Red Sox. Two young stars for those clubs. And they locked them up early. They gave them big long-term extensions, kind of a la Atlanta Braves style. So I'm wondering if the Giants maybe consider doing something similar with Elliot Ramos. I mean, it's something they should definitely consider. I definitely would consider it as well at this point, because, you know, you get a young core going and you lock up some of your key guys, you know, there you have it. this kind of addresses one of the things that I talked about before, is the Giants just not having enough identifiable names for the last few years. Well, now they got some. You know, they brought in Willie Adames on a 7-year deal. They got Chapman locked up long term. Jung Hoo Lee is going to be here a while. I say the next person you add to that is Elliot Ramos, because he has proven more than enough at this point to warrant that he is a main fixture of this Giants team. And he's somebody that you can conceivably build around. Like, he's one of those guys. He, Logan Webb for the rotation, you know, Ryan Walker, Camilo Doval. Those are some guys that I think Giants fans can take pride in and know, like, hey, those are our guys. Those are, like, people keep talking about stars on the Dodgers. Well, here are our stars. Homegrown, they're ours, you know, the Duvals of the world, the Webbs of the world, the Ramoses of the world, hopefully the Matoses of the world. Those are our guys. Those are our stars. So, yeah, I couldn't be any happier for the success that Elliot Ramos is having early on, and I hope it continues. But, yeah, his presence was 100% felt in this series. Like, I mentioned the home run he hit in the second game, his third of the year, just the line drive. It just jumped off his bat. 364 feet, got out in a hurry, 108 miles per hour off his bat. Just insane what he can do. And that was against the right-hander Wisniewski on Tuesday. And then he had another big hit on Wednesday. He doubled in to score Yaz and Fitz. Made the game at the time 5-0. Just incredible stuff so far from Elliot Ramos, and hopefully he keeps it going. And his success right now is important because, as I mentioned, guys like Willie Adames haven't quite gotten going yet. Jung Hoo Lee's been fine. He just hasn't had a ton of hits, but he's had some really good at bats. But once those guys get going, if you can get those guys going at the same rate that you have, Ramos and Flores going, then this lineup has the potential to be pretty dangerous. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing more from him. Then in the third and final game, Landon Roop got the start. This was his first start of 2025. You know, he came into camp expecting to compete for the fifth spot in the rotation, and he ended up getting it. And he and Hayden Birdsong actually pitched in this third and final game. And Roop, early on, he looked great. His stuff was looking real good. Curveball was snapping. He kind of fell in love with it a little bit too much, to the point where the Astros weren't even offering at it, or, you know, he was cruising for the first three innings, but then he ran into trouble through four innings. Then he ran into trouble in that fifth inning. The Astros put up two runs. They had gotten the bases loaded to begin that inning. So Chas McCormick, he walked. Jose Altuve single, and then Isaac Paredes walked, and that loaded the bases with nobody out. And his final line, four innings, four hits, three runs, four walks. That's another thing. He walked a lot of batters, but eight punch outs. So it was a little bit of a mixed bag for Roop, but he also did show a lot of the qualities that I think made him a candidate and a favorite for the rotation spot to begin with. So if he can kind of, find the zone a bit more and maybe not walk as many guys and just continue to attack the zone, because that was one of the things that the pitching coach, JP Martinez, made abundantly clear, is they were going to attack the zone. They were going to limit walks and they were going to throw strikes. So hopefully next time out, Rupa will do that. Randy Rodriguez gave up the hit that with a run, with an additional two runs that Rupa had on his ledger. Two more came off the bat of Yordan Alvarez. But then after that, Christian Walker pops up. He strikes out Yainer Diaz, and Jeremy Peña strikes out. So good stuff from Randy Rodriguez, looking like an absolute stud out of the pen. Could be one of those guys that come up big for the Giants in moments where they need him. And then Hayden Birdsong, we hadn't seen him yet to this point, but he comes in after Randy. He hits up two innings, allows two hits, no earned runs, one walk, and punches out two. I still have the belief that we will see Birdsong have a start somewhere down the line in this season. I mean, he's going to have plenty of starts, I'd imagine, this season. I still think he belongs in the rotation. I would like to see him get steady innings instead of sitting in the bullpen, but this is the role that the Giants have carved out for him. And if he continues to impress and he does well, then say someone, you don't hope for this, you know, you don't want anybody to get hurt and you don't want anybody to underperform. But if there comes a time where that does happen, Birdsong will be the guy that steps in immediately. But I look forward to seeing a little bit more of him going forward, because, again, I think he could be really good for this rotation. There's a reason why I thought it should be him and Roop at the back end of this rotation. But that's neither here nor there. We're just rehashing all things we already talked about. But what else do I want to talk about? I guess we could talk about Lamont Wade Jr. He's been wearing it to start the year. It has not been a good time for Wade. Just a really rough start to the season. He began the year, I believe, 0-16. You know, he went 0-16. He wasn't really making any contact with the ball either, which was weird. No walks. Still no walks to this point in the year for a guy who typically has huge, you know, on base number. Like last year, he had a 380 OPS. I mean, sorry, OBP. But yeah, no walks to this point and five strikeouts. At that point in 16 games. So he didn't get the start on Wednesday's game. He got the day off, which I guess kind of helped to reset him. But he did have a pinch hit appearance, and there have been a few at-bats this year where he has made some solid contact, but he didn't have anything to show for it. So he comes up in that game Wednesday in the top of the eighth. The Giants to that point, so the Giants scored early. They put up two in the first inning and then three in the second inning off of Framber Valdez. But they didn't score again. After that, they were blanked, you know, in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. And, you know, the Astros are not out of this. They're very much in it. You know, they scratched across three runs, and the Giants just needed something, like some added insurance to kind of put them at ease and kind of make it not easier, but you can, you know, if you get yourself into a situation where you know, maybe you concede a run or they're fighting back more, then you'd be okay with, you know, one run. But they just needed that, and Wade comes up with one out, and he hits a ball out to right. And hopefully, you know, getting that first hit out the way, getting that first home run out the way can really bring life to Wade's bat, because I've said it before that I wasn't entirely crazy about the idea of Wade leading off. I always thought Chung Hoo Lee, with his speed and his athletic ability, his ability to work counts. Right now, he's had more, you know, crucial walks than Wade has on the season. But this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to get the offense started with Wade at the top. And if that's what they think can help them win, then we will see. But hopefully this home run, you know, sparks some life into him, because it has not been easy going for Lamont Wade Jr. So hopefully he can start to put things together and we can see more of the old Lamont Wade Jr. that we're accustomed to seeing. The guy that works, counts, gets on base, and occasionally, you know, will smoke a ball over the wall. So hoping good things for Lamont. So I've been, you know, talking quite a bit, but and I'm going to wrap up in a bit. But before I do, we're going to preview the upcoming series for the Giants. They return home. They will be home for the first time this season for a 3-game homestand against the Seattle Mariners. And it begins Friday. Justin Verlander, the future first ballot Hall of Famer, will get the ball in the home opener. He will oppose, it looks like, Luis Castillo in game one. Should be a fun pitching match. Runs will probably be at a premium in that one. That'll give the Giants the kind of that opportunity to eke out some runs there in under this new Buster Posey led regime. So that's Friday. Saturday, the game I will be attending, Robbie Ray will go for the Giants, and opposing him will be Bryce Miller, the right-hander for the Seattle Mariners. So not much, at least not to me. I don't know a whole lot about Bryce Miller, but I am looking at his stats here. Had a really solid year for the Mariners last year. 12-8 record, 294 ERA and 31 starts, 180 innings pitch, 171 strikeouts, which that's pretty good. 171 strikeouts to what? How many walks did he have? Not seeing it on the screen here. Oh, here we go. 45 walks. So it's pretty good. One thing, while the Mariners offense is called into question at points, their pitching is really good. So it'll be a tough series for the Giants to score runs for sure, especially if the Mariners pitching is on point. But we've seen the Giants can also play that game. And then Sunday, the final game of that series, we'll see Jordan Hicks make his second start for the Giants, and he will be opposing Brian Wu of the Seattle Mariners. So, yeah, we will see how that series pans out. And hopefully the Giants can keep this momentum going, because they are rolling right now. They have been so excellent. I mean, there are a few things that you hope to clean up, like the runners in scoring position. These last couple games haven't been the greatest. They did go 4-for-9 in the 7-2 win, the first game in the series against Houston. And then in game two, they went 1-for-7. And then in game three, they went 1-for-7 as well. So it hasn't been a perfect science, but they are getting the runs when they need to. And the pitching is doing its job, from the starting rotation to the bullpen. I feel like I have to dedicate a whole episode just talking about the pen, because that's how excellent they've been this year, you know. And the starting rotation has been pretty solid too. But I think that I've yapped long enough. Thank you for joining me once again for this edition of Second and King. If you are listening on YouTube, make sure to please like the video. Really helps the channel out. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. For my folks on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. Helps the channel out a lot. Helps us grow. And I'm interested to hear what you guys think of the show. What you like about it. What did you think I can do better? Please, I'm always open to feedback. But that's going to do it for this edition of Second and King. I am your host, Darius Lott. And as always, go Giants.